Good morning, friends. Welcome to this morning service. I trust that you have had a good weekend, and I trust that you are preparing well for the week that lies ahead. To all those people that have tuned in, a very, very warm welcome to you. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you made him the ruler over the works of your hands, and put in everything under his feet, all the flocks and herds and beasts of the air, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We now sing together, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that at the start of this new week we can come before you. As we read from the Psalms, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? It's because you are our Father, that you care for us because you made us. You made each and every one of us so incredibly special. Thank you that you are our Father. Thank you too, Lord, for the privilege that we have of gathering together in your name. Thank you for the many blessings that you pour out upon us. Thank you for the opportunities you lay at our feet. And thank you that you are there for us in times when we may feel that we have nobody else around. That you enfold us in your arms and say, my son, my daughter, I'm here. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. Thank you that you have given us the position that you have in this world. And so then, Lord, we also think of those times that we have not borne the name of Christian very well. The times when we've allowed other people to sway our thinking. The times that we've shut people out. The times that we have done things which we are not often proud of. Lord, we think of many people out there who have not done good things. Lord, we come to you this morning and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I have done and for the good that I have not done. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you will come and pour yourself out upon your people. Come and minister to us. Come and guide us. And come and share with us. These things we ask in and through your holy name. Amen. Our Bible reading is taken from the Old Testament, and as Peter so powerfully put it last week, we as a Methodist church have been asked to preach for the next few weeks on gender-based violence, something which has become incredibly prominent in our world, something which has just been running rampant in our country and in the rest of the world. And so I pick up in the second book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I want to read from verse 6. This is the whole story about Amnon and Tamar. And Amnon was Tamar's brother, and Absalom's sister. And I pick up at verse 6. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, I would like to see my sister Tamar to come and make some food for me. Special bread in my sight, so that I might eat from her hand. David sent word to Tamar at the palace, go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him. So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, and made the bread in his sight and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him with the bread, but he refused to eat. Send everyone out of here, Amnon said. So everyone left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, take the food here into my bedroom so that I may eat it from your hand. And Tamar took the bread, and she prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me, my sister. Don't, my brother, she said to him, don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than her, he raped her. Then Amnon hated her with an intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he loved her. Amnon said to her, "Get up and get out." "No," she said to him, "sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you have already done to me." But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servant and said, "Get this woman out of here," and bolt the door after her. So his servant came and put out and bolted the door after her. She was wearing a richly ornamented robe, for this was the kind of garment the virgin daughters of the king wore. Tamar put ashes on her head and torn her ornamented robe that she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went away weeping aloud as she went. Thanks be to God for his word. Now we sing, "I was made to praise you. I was made to worship at your feet." Right, as you've heard this morning, we are preaching about gender-based violence. And so I want to shed a different light on why Jesus came to die on a cross for us. If we read 2 Samuel again, we see that it is important to make preparation to receive Christ as the church and to prepare ourselves to receive the brokenness of people whose idea of love is so perverted. A brother's love for his sister. I think it's so difficult for anyone who has been subject to abuse at the hands of a man, or for that fact, a woman, to conceive the idea that Jesus being a man would be different. J.B. Phillips, in his book, your God is too small, says something so incredibly profound. The way you view your earthly father is the same way that you will view your heavenly father. If your father was distant, then to your heavenly father will be distant to you. If your father was condemning, then you will find God to be a condemning God. If your father was always angry, then you will see God as always being angry. And if your father was verbally, physically, or sexually abusive, need I go on? There are a number of TV series, movies, songs, etc., about the abuse of a father and the effects that it has on people. I personally have seen a number of those videos and series over the last while. But this morning I want to say to you, friends, you can be healed from the wounds of abuse because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of man, those sins that were committed to us and against us. Friends, I want to say this morning that as a church, we need to be prepared on how to receive people in a broken world. I think God wants to pull the veil back to allow us to see the brokenness and the perversion of what the world identifies as love. We as a church need to learn how to speak to those people, how to make the connection that reveals the true love of Christ. Today we look at Tamar, the abused. When we read Samuel, we see heavy stuff. We read of how a brother rapes his sister. Whether we like it or not, this is in God's word. And he speaks to the issues on hand, whether they are comfortable or whether they are not. God wants us to respond to those who have been abused. We need to listen to the no. Three times Tamar said no. According to the Rape, Abuse and Incest International Network in South Africa, we read that 54% of victims are under the age of 18 years old. 80% of victims are under the age of 30. One in every 13 women is sexually abused. 56% is intimate violence. 20 to 40% is sexual and physical violence. I want to say that every 2 minutes, someone is assaulted. More than 200,000 people are assaulted each year. 68% of sexual assaults are never reported because people are afraid. People are afraid to say that I've been raped. 98% of perpetrators never spend a night in prison because people don't speak out. Just this weekend, we read about the horrific rape of a 2-year-old in a quarantine room. Can we allow this kind of abuse to continue? Should we as Christians keep quiet? Friends, this is the reality of the life of the church. In the Old Testament, women were seen as not being equal to men, rather that they were seen as some sort of property. And because they were bought with a dowry or today with a labola, they are seen as an object rather than a person. Something which can just be used, thrown around, and beaten. Even today in many cultures, the same is true. Ammon, Tamar's brother, saw her as an object, and he ignored her no and raped her. Friends, when a woman says no, it means no. What if Tamar were not a woman but a boy? Sexual assault, abuse, and incest can happen to anyone. If something has happened to you, know that you are not alone. Friends, we need to know how to hear those who are saying no, We need to hear those that are crying out for help. We hear of people all the time that are being abused sexually, physically, but we say nothing because we are silent. God wants us to respond to those abused by acknowledging the signs. Because people that are abused wear signs. And I'm not necessarily talking just about black eyes or busted lips or bruises. But they have certain signs about them. And I'm not saying that we must go and look for these signs. They will come our way. Because these people don't talk about it as it causes pain, and so they try to hide it. They try to look like normal human beings. But when the subject is mentioned, they clam up. The poor person that cowers from someone that is shouting is a sure sign. The person who talks about other people behind their back has often experienced neglect or abuse. The one who has to be right, no matter how wrong they are, is also a sign of abuse. Somehow they come out, and usually these people come out at church, because in many ways the church identifies itself as a spiritual family, and we respond out of the context in which we were raised. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Friends, we need to wear our signs. As Tamar put the ashes on her head, she was broken. She was sad. Jesus' heart grieves for the Tamars of this generation. He came to live as a man to teach us how to love one another, to receive one another. He came to die for everyone. The sins we have committed and the ones that have been committed against us. He died for the perverse sexual sins, the physical abuse sins, the emotional abuse sins, and the effects those sins had on so many people that are bound in. Jesus says to us in John 8, verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Friends, Jesus wants to set the church free and all that are in it. In fact, Jesus wants to set the world free of all this ugliness. He wants to set you free from the abuse and the effects of that abuse. But you need to be willing to give your life to him to heal. If this has happened to you, you need to come to him and say, please, help me. Giving to Jesus is simply to tell him about yourself or about someone else. If you know of these things that are going on, if you know of someone who is committing these very, very bad things, you need to speak out. You need to come clean. Jesus wants you to take the signs off because he died for you and he died for the people around. As a church, we must be willing to listen, to hear, and to act. The things are getting worse. The Bible speaks of these things. But friends, you and I need to listen. You and I need to hear. You and I need to act. We need to reach out, speak out, and stop this ugly disease of abuse, particularly against the women of this country. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, and what is man that you are mindful of him? God cares for us. Should we not in some small way begin to care for one another? Amen. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, when we hear these things, when we hear the statistics, when we hear of the ugliness that's going on in the world, we realize that the fields are ripe for reaping. But Lord, you have called us as Christians. You have called us as fellow workers within the church to look out for the signs, to stand up and be counted, to help, to heal, and to act. Lord, help us to act. Help us to reach out. Lord, within our own church, we have so many people on our prayer list, and I commend them all to you and ask that you would put your hand of healing where healing is needed, that you would put your hand of comfort where comfort is needed, and that you will put your arm around those who just feel that they are so lost. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for the church universal, that we might continue to be the beacons of light in this dark world. And then too, Lord, we pray for the government, a government that is under a lot of strain because of corruption, because of insensitive decisions, and the turning of blind eyes to things which are wrong and not doing enough for the people that are hurting. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them wisdom that they might be able to reach out and govern more diligently. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the notices. As I mentioned, there are a lot of people on the prayer list. If you can please just uplift them in your prayers. Then the issue of the food parcels. We are offering food parcels to our members who have need of assistance due to unemployment, etc., during this time. But obviously we don't know who you are. So we're asking, please, that you will contact the church office, drop us a mail, send us a WhatsApp, or a message before Tuesday, and we will make sure that we will give you a food parcel. Donations of food or donations for the needy are also most welcome. We are also putting in some questions for a quiz for you every week, just to make sure that you also get to know your Bible and to know the things a little bit better. I draw your attention to the finances. And once again, we thank you for the ongoing financial support for the work of our church. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the faithfulness and the giving. Our WhatsApp and Facebook virtual services are still available. If you would like to receive any of the services in any other way, please let us know if you are maybe battling with data or with something to that effect. Our birthdays, I have not forgotten them. Tomorrow, the 13th, is Irene Hartmann. It is also Peter Morton's birthday, but unfortunately he has passed on during this week. And we particularly uplift his family during this time. On the 14th, it's Kaylee Jacobs. The 15th, Kisha Pariachi. On the 17th, Mayeza Damani, Xperia Wright. And on the 18th, Lorna Nash. Please continue to pray for the church. Continue to join us and continue your journey. Shortly we will be together again. Shortly we will be celebrating as we say hi and sing and get together. During this time, I would like to just pray for the offering, for those who continue to give. Lord, thank you for the people that just give and give and give. Bless their hands. Bless their hearts. and let them know that we really, really say thank you. Amen. And our closing hymn then is At the Cross of Jesus.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever
to the words. Take it in. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.